Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
The Biden administration is at it again. The one thing they're really good at. These people have a way of grabbing headlines on things that are not nearly as important as the things they don't want you to know about. They're masters of distraction and masters of a machine that decides what is news and what is not. The latest example is absolutely outrageous, and nobody is talking about it. The Biden administration has now asked the Department of Justice to identify and find parents that are causing chaos at local school board meetings. The DOJ says parents are, quote, intimidating educators, and that won't stand. It's called democracy and free speech in America. The Biden administration won't have it. Countries that have had the most severe lockdowns have now failed, and they're easing up. Finally, New Zealand actually thought zero COVID was possible. How silly are these folks? It led them to a 39% vaccination rate, and they still have COVID. The boomerang effect for these politicians, these socialists around the globe, it's taking place against the liberals and all of their mandates, and it really is a sight to behold. In sports, the Chargers are really full of themselves. Hey, no doubt they're off to a great start, but man, these guys are lippy. Wait until you hear what Joey Bosa said about the Raiders quarterback Derek Carr and the officials after the Chargers beat the Raiders. Jags coach Urban Meyer's off to a horrible start at 0-4 and now mired in a controversy with a hot blonde girl grinding on him in a bar during a bye week. He's had to apologize to his team for this unforced error. And the baseball playoffs are starting with wild card games. Man, I don't know who to root for in this round. It's going to be tough. It's all brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. They have an award-winning service department that will come pick your car up, service it, and return it to you. Doesn't matter where you live, even if it's just an oil change. They'd love to do the work for you. Know who you're doing business with, folks. These are great people at Roberts Robinson. Mike and his team are dedicated to your satisfaction, whether you're buying a new or pre-owned vehicle or getting one serviced. It's all at Roberts Robinson in Excelsior Springs. Customers there say, we just make it easy. It's true. You can ask for Mike or Tim on the showroom floor. Build your own car. You can do it online from the comfort of your own home. You get on the phone with Tim Trader, he'll get online with you, and you can build whatever you're looking for. Sierra, Colorado, Silverado, Chevy Blazer like mine, they'll do it with Chevrolet. Find new roads. Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building automation systems. This is the control panel that runs all of your power. It's going to save you thousands, especially if you have a big building, a school, a church, an office building, a warehouse, something like that. Thousands and thousands of dollars a month you can save. What are your energy bills? What is your building costing you? If nothing else, call Elite Automation. They'll come out and work as a consultant for you. You buy nothing. They'll just consult with you on how you can save money the way you're currently doing it. And when you save money, you share what you save with them. No obligation, no pressure. Online at EliteAutomate.com. Window World, simply the best for less. Window World is 100% American-made windows and doors, and they would love to help you make your home a little more energy efficient, make it more valuable, and make it look better. Window World does all that. They're simply the best for less. Great local company, 816-799-0820. They've got 18 months free financing available right now on these American-made windows and doors. Online at WindowsKansasCity.com. Window World is the official window of the Kansas City Chiefs. Call them right now and have them out to take a look at one window or a dozen windows or all your windows. 816-799-0820 for Window World, the title sponsor of KKHI. And AmazingGarageFloors.net, John Hutchins and his team will give you that new garage floor you always wanted, and you're going to love it. So over at my buddy Tony's the other day, he's got an amazing garage floor. It's just fantastic. I'm like, I miss that more than anything until we get into the new home. He's amazing, and it's an amazing garage floor. You're going to love this product, guys. It may be specifically for you, but you're going to love having that great garage floor. Call 913-901-7139 or online at AmazingGarageFloors.net. Get this. The Biden administration wants the Federal Department of Justice to investigate people in local communities in front of their local school boards, challenging the school boards and the mandates and all the stupid rules they're having. Because these people are, quote, intimidating educators. Wow. That's up first on KKHI. Hit it.
Sports, politics, life, Joslyn's Jewelry presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
It's not really getting any headlines or getting a lot of steam or attention, but it's one of those things that, once again, is a very big picture issue that sort of gets swept under the rug in this country and within the Biden administration, which I think is very good at creating so many distractions and so good at keeping so many things on the front burner that get people talking that the real issues many times are kicked to the curb. Classic example this week has been this trying to pass these trillions of dollars worth of spending on things that don't need to be spent. They get that to the forefront, and all of a sudden people aren't talking about Afghanistan. They're not talking about the border. They're not talking about COVID and people coming in with COVID across the border and crime coming in and all these different things. They're just talking about this money. Is it embarrassing for them? Is there Democrat infighting? Of course there is. Nancy Pelosi can't keep her very liberal and progressive part of Congress in lockstep with what she wants to do. She's fighting that. She's losing that battle. They can't get it done because their party's fractured. That's okay. You know, we've said it here many times. The government not doing something is a win. Right now, it's just a win. Not doing anything is a win for the American people. It absolutely, truly is. But sometimes you see things that happen and see things that are going on, and you're like, what in the world is that all about? And how is that not getting more attention? And these are the things, to me, that are more dangerous than spending money, the deficit. Those things all matter. They absolutely matter. We've got such a vibrant economy, such a strong nation, that we literally can just print more money to take care of our problems. And it really, to this point, the inflation this year is bad. It's starting to get bad, and it's starting to affect the stock market. We can see that. But to this point, it really hasn't had much effect on those things because we're such a big, strong, and powerful country. I'm not an economist. I know that borrowing money is bad. I know that printing money is bad. I'm against all of these things. But they pale in comparison to our liberties and our freedoms. And we've been, you know, while we're focused in on mask mandates and, you know, vaccine campaigns, and we're going to make you do this and make you do that, you're going to get fired from your job if you don't get the shot. You're going to wear a mask because we're going to say so. We're going to mandate it. It's not a law. We're going to mandate it. But we know who you are if you don't do it. We know who you are. You're a Trump voter. That's what they think. They don't ever talk about the inner city and the African Americans in this country that do not want the vaccine. By far, the biggest group of people that are declining the vaccine are blacks and Hispanics in this country. It's not Trump voters. Trump voters, there's blocks of Trump voters that don't want to get the vaccine, and they probably have very good reasons, whatever they may be. But then we see something that is just so outrageous, it gets almost no attention. The people that were arrested on January 6th for breaching the Capitol were, in many cases, allowed in, waved in by security. We have an unarmed woman who was shot dead without warning by a cop. We still don't publicly really know who the cop is. We know, but it's not a story. What's going on in this country with targeting conservatives and using the law against them, using law enforcement and the Department of Justice against people that are politically in disagreement with the people in power is the single most un-American thing I've seen in my lifetime. I cannot believe this is taking place. We can now see how they deconstructed the federal government, how they got their people in charge in almost every branch, whether it's the CDC, the National Institute for Health, Anthony Fauci, the generals that we're seeing on Capitol Hill testifying, all liberal, every branch. The FBI became liberal. They didn't want to investigate this. They didn't want to investigate that. Then, oh, Trump collusion. Boom, we're in. We're all over that. They can't find anything. There's no story there. But they're all in on that. We can see that they deconstructed this government. And the federal government in Washington, D.C. is exceedingly liberal. We can also tell this by the way Washington, D.C. votes. It's very simple. The deep state, maybe, the machine, the swamp, whatever it is, the people that work in D.C., we see the votes on election days. It's 70-30 Democrat. We know what they've done to the federal government. They've moved it way left. They've implemented all their people. And now this week, Joe Biden and his people, Merrick Garland, they come out and they say, the Department of Justice, Joe Biden's Department of Justice, this is crazy. This isn't, I made a decision to walk into the Capitol, which I knew wasn't a good decision, and I should be fined for trespassing, but I shouldn't be locked up in solitary confinement for 60 days, which they've done with many of these people. This is so bad. Now the Biden administration has asked the Department of Justice to start working and investigating parents who are, quote, intimidating, unquote, local school boards by going to these meetings and saying, giving facts, you're harming the kids. There is no science the kids are hurt with COVID. This is ridiculous. You teachers are out of control. You need to go to work. Masks should be optional. Let's go back to normal. If you want to send your kid to school with a mask, send them. If you don't want to send them with a mask, don't. Schools should be open. Teachers should be working. This is a very reasonable position by parents. Most parents believe these things. The majority of parents believe these things. Americans know that COVID is not a thing with kids. So the Department of Justice says, wait a second. Joe Biden says, wait a second. There's an uprising at the local level of what appear to be very smart, loving, caring parents that are going to these board meetings, and they're letting the school board have it. And then they're doing research on the members of people who are on these school boards. And they're like, wow, that's a crazy wacko liberal sitting up there. We didn't know. Who knew? These people just get in these positions, and we don't really know. But now we know because we're paying attention to the meetings. Now we know because we're looking at a school board of 5 or 7 or however many people are on it. We're like, whoa, there's 3 or 4 absolute crazies on that board that do not have the children's best interest in mind. They're simply up there representing their teachers' union and doing everything they can to gain power, money, benefits, control for the teachers. That's all it's about. And we see that. And so the Biden administration, rightfully so, I'll give him some credit, has identified the problem. But can somebody tell me how in the world Joe Biden and his Department of Justice are going to start targeting parents at the local level for speaking to local school boards and state school boards? What in the world the federal government has to do with that? How on earth do we allow things like this to happen in this country right now? How can this regime, and that's what they are, the Biden administration is a regime, right? They're the mandate kings. They want complete and utter control over every one of us. Make no mistake about it. That's what they're about, is gaining control, getting power, not just controlling DC, controlling the entire country, controlling the way you live. And now the Federal Department of Justice is going to get involved and start searching out and seeking parents who are disruptive at local school board meetings. We're going to see arrests, folks. They're going to arrest these people. They're going to find videotapes of them, just like they did at the Capitol. They're going to find videotapes of somebody who we've seen some parents who laid down and said, if you're going to take me out of here, you're going to have to drag me out. And they've been dragged out. Oh, they'll trump up some kind of a federal charge on that. You know, you can't be doing that. You just watch what they're going to do. This is going to be horrific if they truly mean what they say and they come after parents at the local level for being disruptive and what they're calling, quote, intimidating. We haven't seen violence. Nobody's gone in with a knife or a gun and gone after a school board member or anything like that. This is parents being active. This is democracy. This is what America was built on. This is who we are. You're in charge. We're skeptical of you. We're smarter than you. And we're going to let you know it. Then we're going to get you out. Steve Bannon, who many of you know from years back being at Breitbart News and then working with Donald Trump, one of the great conservatives anywhere in America, made some comments on his podcast yesterday. And speaking with a bunch of conservatives at a think tank, he said, look, we're winning in 2022. We're winning in 2024. We're winning big. He said, we run this country. We have to start acting like it. We have the votes, meaning conservatives and Republicans have the votes in this country. This is still a center-right country. We have it. Every now and then, we have to be awakened. The last election certainly was that. We have to be awakened. And he said, he scared the hell out of people on the left. You know, there's like 4,000 positions that you appoint when you get control. Right now, the Democrats have everything. He's saying by 2024, the Republicans will have the presidency, the House, and the Senate. He said, we need the 4,000 best people in the federal government. We need to replace everyone when we get the chance, and the chance is coming. He said, in order to get the 4,000 best, we are currently working and recruiting 20,000 people. We're going to find the 20,000 best, and of the 20,000 best, we're going to put the 4,000 best in. It's going to be a MAGA wave like you've never seen. He's scaring the hell out of these people because they know they're beat next November. They also know if they don't get this budget thing passed or whatever they're going to try to spend all this money on in the next month or so, once it becomes like holiday season and less than a year to the elections, you're pretty much stuck if you're the Democrats. You just aren't going to have a lot of wiggle room because people are now on the ballot. So this is for Mitch McConnell. You know, Mitch McConnell's not a great, you know, doer. He doesn't get a lot of things done, but he is great at killing the clock. He's fantastic at dragging things out and keeping things from happening, and he's doing that right now. He's helping the Democrats are infighting. Look, it's their government. They've got all three. They can pass whatever they want. This is on them. This has nothing to do with Republicans at this point. So you stall, any stall tactics you can come up with, you stall, and you do that. But I'm just shocked, and it's getting very little play. I mean, I'm absolutely shocked that the Department of Justice is now going to target parents at a local level that are going to school boards because they know who these people are. They know that every single parent that walks in there and is causing a stink and speaking at a school board against all this crazy stuff they're doing to our kids, they know every single one of those people is a vote for someone else. They know that. They absolutely know that. But hey, they can't get their own votes in their own house. The progressive freaks are dragging them down. I'd love to see a third party created out of the Democrat Party. Certainly not out of the Republican Party. But if the freaks on the left are gaining more and more control, maybe, you know, maybe some Joe Manchins and Kyrsten Sinemas from Arizona and West Virginia decide we're somewhere in the middle here. We're going to be, quote, independents. And I think an independent, generally speaking, is going to be a Democrat that leaves the Democrat Party. I don't think you're going to see a lot of Republicans do this. Andrew Yang, who ran for president, ran for mayor of New York, has left the Democrat Party. He authored a book called The War on Normal People. Andrew Yang had the wild idea of giving everyone in America $1,000 a month. That's a very Democrat, far left proposal. He ran on that. People liked it. Then what they found out is Andrew Yang is a self-made man, and he's being a self-made man, he's got a lot of principles in him that are very conservative, and that is the government really shouldn't be doing all this stuff. A lot of these far left things aren't good. Andrew Yang appealed to some young voters saying, big tech, automation, artificial intelligence, these are bad for our society. They're bad for us as people. A lot of young people tapped into that. Well, those are pretty conservative things, that these are not good things for us. Andrew Yang has said, quote, I'm confident that no longer being a Democrat is the right thing, unquote. He's now an independent. Independent is simply a way to say, I don't want to be identified with the crazy part of this party. At least that's what it looks like. Although Bernie Sanders famously became an independent because he was the crazy part of the party. He didn't want to be identified with the normal part. Crazy Bernie didn't want any part of being identified with Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin says, I've always been a Democrat, but I'm a conservative Democrat. I'm an old school conservative Democrat. I'm not a progressive. I'm not a liberal, and I'm not voting for these things. I think Joe Manchin should switch parties. He's not a liberal. He's not today's Democrat. Maybe he can call himself independent. Maybe he does. Maybe he will. Maybe he should just be a Republican. He's in a wildly Republican state. Why isn't he just a, you know, far left Republican, which is what he'd be, a Mitt Romney type? I don't know, but boy, I'm glad they're there. I'm glad there's two Democrats that are close to the middle and holding all this stuff up. This is a party in chaos. And so what do? They try to figure out how we control. How do we control? We have to control. We need more control. We need more control. We're going to go after parents that are visiting school board meetings because we can't have that. The education secretary says his words were misconstrued, but they weren't. He said out loud that the parents shouldn't have a very big role in their children's education. This is about educators running this system. It's not about the parents. No. This is the problem with the entire Democrat Party and the way they think. They think We're smart. We know better than you. We're in charge. This is us, not you. They have lost sight of the fact that the voters control this country, that the people are empowered to run this country. And we can throw anybody out we want, and we will in 13 months. It's going to be epic. They will be out. It will be a big deal. I can't wait to see it. There's mayhem everywhere. Auckland, New Zealand. COVID zero. The woman in charge in Auckland, New Zealand, literally came up with a plan this summer called COVID zero. We're going to have zero cases in Auckland, a very big city. Complete and total lockdowns. She closed everything, left everybody at home. They've been at home for like 8 weeks, completely locked it down. It's not working. They don't have a big problem there, but in a place like Auckland, they get 27 new cases in a week and they freak out. They're like, oh, we have 27 new cases. Church organizes a rally over the weekend. They're not supposed to be out in public, but they went out. They had a rally. A church organized it. This is Freedom Lovers. Thousands of people gathered in Auckland, New Zealand, and said, we've had enough. We have had enough of the lockdowns. Open this thing up. Well, they're going to do it in three phases. She has admitted that COVID zero did not work, because why anyone on this earth with, how can you even have half a brain and think you can get rid of a virus? What, I mean, there was never a chance at COVID zero. I'll at least credit Fauci in the beginning. He said 15 days to slow the spread. He didn't say 15 days to end it, 15 days to slow it. You can't get rid of the virus. You can't. It's here. It's like the flu. COVIDs have been around forever. COVIDs are not new. COVID-19 was new. The Delta variant is new. COVIDs are not new. These are not new things. These viruses are not new. We've had them before. And they've happened around the world and people have died from them. And it didn't make the news. Because when people die of the flu, it doesn't make the news. When somebody gets COVID or tests positive from COVID, it makes the news. It just doesn't any of it make any sense. But they've lost in New Zealand. It's not worked. Singapore, same thing. They tried to do COVID zero. It didn't work. How about this? Here's how it backfired in New Zealand. And they should have seen this coming. She literally convinced the population of New Zealand that if we go total lockdown, COVID zero is attainable if we just lock down. We can eradicate it from here. That's that. All we got to do is lock down. So what happened? People locked down because they want to comply and not get arrested. And then they didn't get the shot. They didn't get the vaccine. New Zealand, you know, the capital of lockdowns, New Zealand, is 39% vaccinated. What? 39%. She convinced them all that if we just lock down, we're good here. We've got this. And then nobody went and got the vaccine. These people are really stupid. You cannot eliminate this virus. People can get the vaccine if they want it. People cannot get the vaccine if they want it. Let's go live our lives. This is insane. All of it is just absolutely, completely and utterly ridiculous. And they just come up with new things every day. We're going to go after parents. We're going to go after parents that are going to school board meetings. The Department of Justice. Are you kidding me? Did they go after the Antifa? Black Lives Matter protesters, people who burn down police stations. Oh, no, you can burn down a police station. But if you voted for Joe Biden, we're not coming after you. You walk into the Capitol and get shot unarmed by a cop with no warning. We're not even going to let anybody know who the cop is. There'll be no investigation of that. Nothing to see here. You shouldn't have been there. Reasonable argument. Little extreme, shooting and killing somebody. For coming in, she was breaching the property. She was climbing through a window. She shouldn't have been doing it. I don't think it deserves just without a warning being shot. I'm pretty sure if she was warned, she'd have backed down or put her hands up. Something. These are troubling times. No, let's go get parents. We got to stop these parents from going to these school board meetings. There's an uprising out there in the flyover country, in the hinterland. What's going on? See, they only know their bubble and they don't know our world. And they see something like that and they just can't believe it. They're like, what, wait, those parents are questioning authority? They're questioning the liberals in charge? How is this possible that people would actually see something happen in their life that they don't like and question the liberals in charge? Well, that's happening all over the world. COVID's doing that. The boomerang effect of COVID here is getting ugly for liberals, getting very, very ugly. Oh, lucky California. The Powerball on Monday night was $700 million, and there is one winner, and that winner purchased a ticket in the state of California. We'll assume the person is a Californian. That means with the taxes in California, the state of California will get about $100 million of all of our money. When they collect the state income tax on that, they'll get about $100 million, and that's essentially money from the other 49 states. What a shame. One winner of Powerball in California, $700 million. You'd almost like to see this. It'd be great if $700 million was out there, if there were like 70 people all won $10 million. That'd be pretty good. Never happens like that. There's too many numbers on the ticket. I think I matched two, and I don't know if that wins me anything or not. I got to look it up. I matched two of the five numbers, not the Powerball itself, but I matched two of the five. Seems like maybe that's a free ticket or $5 or something like that. So I'll get back with you on that. I'm going to head to the convenience mart of choice at some point later today, and I'll just hand it to the clerk and say, is this worth anything? They'll punch it right in the machine, and we will find out. That machine may have been provided by 360 Document Solutions because they have the best business machines, whether it's copiers, printers, any kind of IT solutions, mailing systems, phone systems. 360 Document Solutions can make your company more profitable and more efficient. Here's what you do. If you want to do business with a great company, great conservatives, have Mark and his team out. If your business is anywhere in Western Missouri or anywhere in the state of Kansas, the entire state of Kansas, they'll come right to your office. They'll do a complimentary analysis of all your document technology, your IT programs. They'll do a complete review and they'll give it to you. No pressure, no questions asked. They're going to offer you a solution that will save you money. They'll get you out of your current leases or whatever you have with your equipment. They'll do all that and it'll make your business better. 360documentsolutions.com. Nobody knows this industry like Mark and his team at 360documentsolutions.com. Back 9 Development, a custom home builder right in the Midwest of the United States of America. TJ and his team, wow, are they good. Commercial properties, room additions, custom homes, and the Solheim condominiums at Grand Mere. The pool, workout facility, covered parking. Solheim at Grand Mere is unlike anything else in the Midwest. Beautiful, upscale, custom condominiums on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. Great for a weekend retreat, second home, college student, you name it. Check it out online at back9development.com. Bstock.net in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. They have Apple products. Apple, discounted Apple products at Bstock. Check them out online or visit the warehouse at 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Don't forget, you deserve a brand new television for football season. Why wouldn't you? Great deals on Samsung, LG, Vizio. They're all right there. Bstock.net. And, of course, Fry Orthodontics, which features shorter treatment times. The average treatment time at most orthodontists is 2 years. Fry averages just 17 months for braces and 12 months with Invisalign. That's right, half the time to get the best treatment anywhere. It's at Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations in the Kansas City area. Online at fryorthodontics.com, where your smile is just the start. Well, I don't normally like to lead sports with something from off the field. Well, that's not entirely true. That's not entirely true. Okay, something frivolous like celebrity news when it's not a local story, but this one caught my eye, and it probably caught your eye over the weekend. We'll get to the Monday night game, the Chargers and Raiders. That was... We got a lot going on in the AFC West. We'll get there. But I've sort of been on the fence, and I'm not on the fence a lot on many things. I've sort of been on the fence most of these years with a coach named Urban Meyer, who won titles at Florida, Ohio State. He coached at Utah before that. I became relatively close with Alex Smith over the years, doing a radio show with him, and he just has spoken glowingly about Urban Meyer for years. A lot of things I saw Urban Meyer do, and the way he would act and whatnot, I'd be like, I don't really think I like him. But I don't know him, so I can't judge him. Alex Smith says he's a great guy. I should go with that. I didn't like the way he walked away the one time and said it was too much stress on his heart or whatever and needed to get away from football. But then he came back and he's had 8 jobs since then. So there's a lot of things there that I've not liked, but I've been on the fence. Alex has kept me on the fence. It's like, okay, he thinks highly of him, on the fence. Then we see this viral video, and if you haven't seen it, it's damaging. I mean, he's got a problem with his wife. There's no doubt about it. Look, there's nobody claiming in any way, shape, or form that Urban Meyer is having an affair or is sleeping with the woman in this video with him or whatever. He was out with family in Ohio. They played Cincinnati, fell to 0-4, and it was a bye week. And because he knows so many people in Ohio, Urban Meyer stayed in Ohio and the team went back to Jacksonville. That's mistake number one. But he stayed. And he had a big dinner and they went out. And then as they were out, it got a little bit later. It was not certainly not late at night, I don't think, but it was later. And he's kind of sitting on a bar stool and there's a very attractive blonde woman who is trying to get in. His story. He's told the story. He's spoken about this on Monday. He said, I told the team, this is on me. It's terrible. I created a distraction. This is a bad thing I've done, but I didn't really do anything wrong. It was a harmless night out with family and friends. This woman had come over and she was trying to get me to dance and she had grabbed my hand and was trying to get me on the dance floor. And I said, no, I'm not dancing. He stayed on his bar stool and she proceeded to dance like right in front of him, almost like a lap dancer would do. And he didn't seem to mind. And he seemed to be a little handsy with her. And the video is damning. And if I'm his wife, I'm pissed at him. I am. I don't think he slept with her. I don't think anything crazy happened. I think a lot of guys in that spot might have done the same thing he did. So I'm not going to go over the top and criticize Urban Meyer and say that he's needs to be some saint or whatever. Whatever. Shouldn't have done it. Bad thing. But it's not the end of the world. The worst thing is, how do you get in that spot? How are you 0-4 as the coach of the Jaguars and you decide to stay in Ohio, let your team leave, and you're out partying at dance restaurant, a restaurant that turns into a dance floor? We know those. That's apparently what this place was. It wasn't really a dance hall or a club, Thump Thump Club or something. It was one of those restaurants that as it gets towards 9, 10 o'clock, there's a live band after people have had dinner, and it turns into that. And so there he was, and he creates this huge distraction, and I don't feel sorry for him one bit. I don't. He'd been taking pictures with people all night. There are dozens of pictures of him, nice pictures, restaurant pictures, not with cocktails in his hand, nice people. He said, all night long, all I did was take pictures with people. Everybody wanted to take pictures. I obliged everyone. I couldn't have been more polite. And this woman saw that, and she came up and decided she wanted me to dance, and I wasn't going to dance with her. And then this happened, and okay, I believe his story. It still isn't good. And it's created a hell of a distraction for the Jaguars. And it's not too early to ask if this team is going to go 0-17. They've played some bad teams and lost. So it's not too early to ask what happens when Urban Meyer does that with his football team. And I look, I'm still on the fence with Urban Meyer. I'm not going to hate him. If they get good and he starts beating the Chiefs in the AFC title game every year, yeah, I'll probably hate Urban Meyer, but I don't really have it in me. I guess I would say this about Urban Meyer. He's always kind of struck me as disingenuous. He's always struck me as a little bit of a fraud. I don't know that to be true. It started when he left and said health reasons. Then he came back 26 times and coached elsewhere. I think he's disingenuous. I don't believe the man when he speaks. I don't. But I don't really have a reason to call him a liar or say he's a bad person. But this didn't help his image. This didn't help Urban Meyer or the Jacksonville Jaguars in any way. Monday Night Football, the Chargers beat the Raiders, and they dominated this football game. They led 21-0 at half. They win 28-14. There was a lightning delay at the beginning of this game, even though there's a roof on the stadium. I can't figure that out. The highlight of the night for me, because it wasn't a very fun game to watch. I mean, there was some good hitting, some good defense early. It was interesting to watch defense. We don't see a lot of that as Kansas City fans. There was a Raider fan in the stands. He had his Raiders jersey on, and he had a black hat on that said, "Got rings?" with a question mark, because the Chargers famously don't have a Super Bowl ring. He was holding up a Chargers jersey that he custom made. And on the nameplate, where your name would be, mine would say Keatsman, insert your name there, he made one that the last name of the player was Rings. And then the jersey number was 0. Oh my God, it was great. Why didn't I think of that? I don't know, maybe you've seen that before. That's too good. Rings 0. Fantastic, Raider fan. Way to go. There were no Manning brothers last night. It's like, uh-oh, is this a technical problem? I think I knew this, but had forgotten. They're not doing all 17 games. They're only doing 10. So the Mannings are only doing the Manning cast half the games or so. So I think the Chiefs play the Giants on Monday Night Football. I don't think Eli's going to be doing that. I could be wrong. Maybe he will, but I don't know. I'd sure like to see the Mannings break down the Chiefs one night. That'd be a lot of fun. No Mannings on this Monday night, so you were stuck with the bad broadcast that is ESPN's Monday Night Football. But the story of this game was after the game. Chargers won. Chargers were the better team. Chargers are a really good football team. The Chargers are incredibly full of themselves right now. I don't think it's going to end well for the Chargers. I'm going to go ahead and call that shot right now. It's not going to end well, and I don't mean the division. Maybe they do win the division. Because the Chiefs have problems, folks. Chiefs defense is a major problem. It's a huge problem. I mean, a massive problem. The Chiefs have a major problem that the Chargers don't have. Look, the Chargers don't have the Chiefs offense, but they don't have the Chiefs defense either. And for most teams, that's pretty good. And we saw that at Arrowhead. The problem is the Chargers are getting really full of themselves for no reason. The Raiders weren't. Like, the Raiders were 3-0, but they trailed in every game. They gave up 28 points to the Dolphins and won in overtime. You don't really get full of yourself. But the Chargers go to Arrowhead and win. Then they back it up with a really nice performance here, and they dominate the Raiders. Easily the better football team. But, man, I didn't watch every snap of the game. I lost track of how many wide-open receivers Herbert missed. You know, how much better they could have been. Herbert's terrific. He's off to a great start in his young career. But I'm shocked at the open receivers that he misses. I really am. It's noticeable. He shouldn't have that many. And he does. Which means when the pressure's really on, when it really gets tough later in the season, what happens? They're probably not there yet. But they're acting like they've arrived. They're acting like this is their division. They've been doing this through their marketing department. It's organizational. Everyone in the organization has basically decided that this is now our division. We're better than the Chiefs. We're taking this thing over. It's ours, and that's that. We're LA. We play in the stadium. We're bigger and better than you. Maybe they are. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they can't win the division. I just think their season's going to end poorly. I think when teams get swollen, when their heads get swollen, when they get big heads, and you can see it and hear it in everything they're doing, it would be different if they'd won one. They've never won one. Nobody there's won anything. This is all new. Okay, they remind me a little bit of the team they share the stadium with, the Rams. Very cocky, good team, formidable opponent, but they really haven't done it, have they? No, they really haven't. So what does Joey Bosa say after this game? Chargers pass rusher extraordinaire. Bosa goes in and says, well, we knew if we got a little bit of a pass rush on Derek Carr, we had this game. Quote, this is Joey Bosa on Derek Carr, the Raiders quarterback. Quote, he gets really shook, unquote, when you hit him. If you get a pocket around him, he tucks the ball. He doesn't do anything. He gets scared. You said this after you've beaten him, but you're playing him again. Right? So here are the Chargers acting like we're the kings of the world. Then Bosa doesn't stop there. He says, the refs are blind. I'm sorry, but you're blind. It's been years of terrible, terrible missed calls right and left. I'm sick of it. That's what Joey Bosa says after winning in a game. He's cutting down the other team's quarterback, and he's totally annihilating the officials, which he's going to get fined for. I love it when people in sports say things. I'm happy that he did. It's great insight into what the Chargers are feeling right now and who they are. That is one cocky, arrogant bunch. Maybe it serves them well. We saw this with the Royals in 14 and 15. They were very cocky and brash. Served them well. We've seen it with the Chiefs. Served them well a couple of years ago. Didn't serve them well last year. I still feel like they were way too cocky and overconfident going into that Super Bowl game. And paid the price. And it carried over to this year, to be honest. They haven't shown that they're talking a good game right now. The Chiefs are talking a good game. That, hey, we have to do the little things. We have to practice better. We have to be hungry. We have to do all these things. But we don't really see it. We don't really see the defense getting better, do we? No, we don't. So maybe the Chargers are reaching their own. Maybe they are the team. Maybe they are. Normally, when a team comes along that's getting better and they think they've arrived, they have not arrived. They get kicked in the crotch first. Maybe they arrive next year. Maybe they arrive the year after. The Chargers are going to be a formidable opponent for a long time. But I've got a feeling just from history, just from watching this happen with teams that have been bad for a long time, all of a sudden get good, that they get too cocky too fast. And that early first year or two, it doesn't pay off. They get kicked in the head and get knocked down, and it ends poorly for them. So I'm going to predict that it will end poorly for the Chargers. I can't describe for you exactly what that is, but I just don't think it's all that good. I can't believe that they switch the coach, get a new quarterback, and all of a sudden they're a Super Bowl champion. That's a little too much for me to believe, but they're sure acting like it in front of everyone to see. Bubba Wallace was feeling pretty good about himself Monday at Talladega. Bubba Wallace is the mostly famous for his race. He's a black driver in NASCAR's top series. Michael Jordan is one of the team owners. He gets the win at Talladega Monday because it rained and there were 70 laps left, and they wound up canceling the race. Okay, a lot of people are wanting to make history out of this one. This one doesn't really do it for me. I've always sort of looked at rain-shortened winters different than other winners. We know in this sport, nobody's trying really hard to lead with 70 laps left. Now, they had weather warnings. So in the case of this, maybe 20 laps prior, 30 laps prior, there was a scramble for the lead. And the crew chiefs were saying, let's get the lead. We could get rain here and get a win. Let's go. Let's go. Not saying people weren't trying. Definitely not trying to disrespect him. He's not one of the better drivers. He's not one of the better teams. That doesn't mean they won't be that. But now we've kind of reached a point where, you know, we see all these firsts. Well, there aren't very many firsts anywhere. He's not the first black NASCAR driver to win a race. So that's problematic. They're trying to make it historic and make a big deal of it. How do you do that? This was the guy who claimed falsely that somebody left a noose hanging in his garage and all this. There's been a lot going on with this driver. NASCAR isn't going woke, but you know they're making strides to be more inclusive and whatever. So there's some people wanting to make a big deal out of this because he's the first black driver in 58 years to win a NASCAR race. And my response to that is, NASCAR was ahead of the curve. NASCAR was ahead of a lot of people. They had a driver in 1963, before I was born, win a race. So these aren't firsts. So what that tells me is this sport has always been inclusive. It just doesn't have a talent pool of young black kids that want to be drivers and be in the sport. I don't think you just market this thing in the inner city in Chicago and say, hey, get out of the city and become a NASCAR driver. It's more complicated than that. Almost everyone that drives at the NASCAR level had a family of racers. They grew up on the weekends, not playing high school football. They grew up in a lot of ways, loading up the truck, hitching the trailer, taking the car, driving 200 miles somewhere, and dirt racing on Friday and Saturday night. And kids would midget race and things like that. And that's how you became a racer. You started driving at 12, you started doing this, and then you became a driver. This is not a sport where you can just go recruit young athletes and say, come get into NASCAR. So I don't think there's going to be a wave. It needs to be a sport that black kids watch and want to be part of and somehow find an entry to. And I think as our country progresses, and we are progressing, and we get more and more diversity outside the inner city, in suburbs and places like that, there will be more opportunities. There will be opportunities for all kinds of people to get into this sport, which has sort of been known as a Southern sport, a white sport, all those things. I'm sorry. I think it's a tremendous compliment to NASCAR that a black driver won a race in 1963, and Bubba Wallace does that. First time in 58 years that's happened. But to me, that is the exclamation point on how well we've done in this country at being the least racist country on earth. We have. We've done great. And the other people try to tell you otherwise, but they lie to you. They lie to you all the time. They lie to you about race. They lie to you about COVID. They lie to you about masks. They lie to you about all this stuff because they want to scare you and they want you to vote for them. And that's all it is fear. It all comes under the heading of fear. There are people that if we can scare them and make them feel like they're bad people and the only way they're good people is to vote for us, we got this. That's their whole game plan. The second quarter of the K-State game on Saturday, I was in Manhattan on the Jumbotrons. By the way, and look, you guys know I went to K-State. It is unbelievable how nice the football facilities are at Kansas State. They got this new club thing in the end zone. This is an unbelievable environment. It's loud. The seats, the stands are on top of the field. That is a great, if you just want to go have fun and go to a game sometime, get a ticket, go to Manhattan on a fall Saturday afternoon, breathe that wonderful fresh air out in Manhattan, Kansas, and suck it all in, baby, because it is something else. It really is cool. It really is cool. I didn't think K-State was going to win this game. I didn't think Skylar Thompson was going to start. When he did, they're marching downfield and going in to go up 7-0. I'm like, my God, they're going to beat this team today. Then they fumble at, what, the 10-yard line, going in for a go-ahead touchdown, just carving Oklahoma up, and it just deflated everything. They got behind. They wind up losing by, what, 6? Needed an onside kick to try to win it. But K-State doesn't go away. You know, they just keep scrapping. They find ways. Fine, forget the game. In the second quarter on the Jumbotron, and there's 4 massive Jumbotrons there now, it really is a better place to watch a game than Arrowhead. It's not close. I'll just be honest. It's not even close. It's a better place to watch a game. It's not as many people, but it's the sight line. Everything about the stadium is just fantastic. It's a great, great football experience. In the second quarter, they say, let's pick the second half song. They give you 3 choices, and you text. You text in which one you want to hear in the second half. And it's always the newest or hippest song, the coolest song, because the only people that are texting in are the students. Like the old farts, the donor class, they're not getting on their phone and texting what song they want to hear in the third quarter. So you know which one's going to win when they're all up there. And they're always like years apart. It's 3 songs, generally speaking. If somebody is 60 years old, they'll like that one. If you're 40 years old, you'll like that one. If you're 20 years old, you'll like that one. And the one that the 20-year-old always wins. And that happened in this case. The 3 songs offered were Take the Money and Run by the Steve Miller Band, Mo Money, Mo Problems by the Notorious B.I.G., and Gold Digger by Kanye West. Kanye West wins. Of course, K-State fans knew exactly what the athletic department was up to. Oklahoma was the opponent, for crying out loud. They are taking the money and they're running to the SEC. They are going to make more money, but they are going to have more problems, and they are absolutely gold diggers. And I just got to tip my cap to the K-State Athletic Department for doing that and putting that up on the screen. I thought it was fantastic. Oklahoma doesn't care. Oklahoma doesn't care. And there wasn't nearly, I was disappointed. There wasn't nearly the signage and the venom at OU that I thought the students would bring. I think we'll see more of it in basketball than football. But it was disappointing there wasn't more of that on Saturday. I just didn't see much of it at all. The Oklahoma fans that were there were friendly and nice and fine. They're cool. They're good. It's okay. But they're gone, and I thought that was kind of fun. They put that up on the board. Gold Digger won easily, like 70%. The students went for Gold Digger by Kanye West. And the baseball playoffs are starting. Tuesday night, it's the Yankees at Red Sox on ESPN. That's must-watch TV. Wednesday night is Cardinals at Dodgers on TBS. This is the wild card round. One and done. One and done. The Yankees-Red Sox winner will go on to play Tampa in the division series. The Cardinals-Dodgers winner will go on to play the Giants in the division series. And what a shame if the Dodgers win that game and the 106-win Dodgers play the 107-win Giants in a division series. That's the way they've set it up. It's what they do. All right, the Patron Podcast will be up later on Tuesday with Danny Klinkscale, BTL 2.0. If you would like to hear that and access all the Patron podcasts, you can join up at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. We've had kind of a slow go on new patrons here the last week or 10 days. I was thinking about calling Podbean. I'm not sure why. We normally get a handful of new patrons every week, and I don't think we've had one in like 7 or 8 days, so I don't know if there's something wrong. If you have tried to become a patron and somehow you got stymied or it didn't work, shoot me an email, kevin@kkhasissues.com. Shoot me an email and let me know. I don't know what's going on because we haven't had one for several days. But if you'd like to sign up, we'd love to have you on board. It's $5 a month. We do about 3 podcasts a week, the newsletter on the weekends, special events, in-person special events. And it's a good time. You'll like it. I think you'll enjoy being a patron of KK Has Issues. Go to kkhasissues.com. And please don't forget to support the ALS Walk coming up Saturday. James Bishop, one of our great listeners who has ALS. You've heard his family story. If you've not heard this podcast from last Friday, please go listen to last Friday's podcast about a fellow listener. It's the most important podcast we've done. You need to hear this family story and support this cause on Saturday, the ALS Walk, October 9th at Kauffman Stadium, the Keith Worthington chapter here in Kansas City. If you can donate, just Google ALS Walk Kansas City. Click the button donate. Type in James Bishop's names. It goes right to his team. James Bishop goes right to him. I also provided the link on the podcast. If you go back to the podcast last Friday, the link is right there. So you can click on that link. It's in the description of the podcast. You can see it there. And it takes you straight to the place you need to go if you'd like to make a donation. That would be incredible if you could do that. We've done well, but we need more. So please help us out with the ALS Walk this Saturday or sign up to walk, and we'll see you out there. Everyone is invited. Any of you can show up. Any listener can show up. I'll be there. James is going to be there. You don't even have to participate in the walk. You can come and make a difference. You want to come say hi. Think of it as a public event, a gathering, an event. It's 9 o'clock registration, 10 o'clock start. Come on out to Kauffman Stadium around 9:15, 9:30 on Saturday and say hello. It's not necessarily meet and greet. I don't know how it all works, but I'd love to have any listener come out. We can take pictures. We can say hello. We can chat for a bit. Anything you'd like to do, I'm available. I'm there. Let's do it. Let's meet Saturday morning at Kauffman Stadium, October 9th. I want to meet you. I want to see you, especially if you like the podcast and didn't like the radio show. I have so many women walk up to me and say, you know, my husband used to listen to your radio show and it wasn't that interesting. Now that you're doing politics, I love you. I love this podcast. And I say, well, thanks a lot. That's very kind of you. I'll take any compliment I can get, even if you didn't like the old show. That's cool. But more and more people, as I'm running into them, are listening to the podcast, and it's just so, so nice, so unbelievable. You folks are absolutely amazing. But I'd love to see you Saturday morning if you can make it. Come on out to the ALS Walk. It's at Kauffman Stadium, Lot J, 9 o'clock. Saturday morning is registration. The walk starts at 10. Come on out. We'll just treat it like a meet and greet. Take some pictures, bring the kids, and maybe meet James, shake his hand. He'd love your support. His family would love your support. If you have not listened to that podcast, please listen to it from last Friday. The headline begins with fellow listener. Fellow listener is the headline. So give that a listen. There's a link on there to donate if you can help us out. At Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.